Grace and mercy and peace are indeed yours from Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen. Just about a week ago, we rejoiced in the placement of candidates into the office of the Holy Ministry, the placement of deaconesses, the assignment of deaconess interns, and in fact, vicars themselves. By the way, we have an additional vicar who will be assigned at the end of this service today. The one thing that all of these individuals have in common that I noticed, number one, they were all really excited about where they were headed. And number two, they were all a little bit scared, largely because they wanted to be sure to be faithful, to be sure to speak correct words, correct doctrine. Now, this group wasn't the first at the seminary to exhibit those characteristics or those traits. And in fact, in my homiletics classes, I've often had student preachers who develop what's called speaker's cramp or preacher's cramp. You know, when they labor to make sure every word is doctrinally correct, and then when they deliver the sermon, they sort of lean over and read every word to make sure that they do not miss a word, so that everything is doctrinally correct. That joking aside, it is wonderful to see that we have men and women who want to be correct, and who want to be faithful, and who want to proclaim the word of the Lord right and in a proper sense. The situation was somewhat different in Malachi's time. You know, the temple had been rebuilt, but there were a bunch of faithless priests around. They weren't all faithful. Malachi tells us that the priests did not honor God's name, that they did not take God's word to heart, and interestingly, that they did not guard knowledge. In other words, pass on the true faith in preaching and teaching of correct doctrine. They turned away from the way. They caused many to stumble. They showed favoritism and partiality in their preaching and teaching. And they simply didn't uphold the confession of their fathers. And greatest of all insults, critiques, was that they married the father of a foreign god. They even became, in fact, heretical. Now, do we understand why the students and those assigned want to be faithful? I don't think they want any of these things ascribed to their names. Certainly they don't want to be married to the father of a foreign, marry the father of a foreign god in their calls, in their assignments. Certainly they don't want to cause people to stumble and to move away from Christ. But you know, even with those examples, maybe that's still not enough of a warning. Malachi didn't think it was for the wicked priests of Judah. And maybe it's not enough for you and for me. So he goes on to tell us these things. Well, if you want to be unfaithful, an unfaithful proclaimer, an unfaithful witness, then just count on these things. A special curse from God just for you. Or the curse upon all your blessings, so that when you bless your people, there's a special curse there. Or God's wrath and rebuke itself upon your children. Being run out of your parishes. Being despised by members of your congregation, all in our reading today. And if all this is not enough, the promise of having dung smeared on your faces for unfaithfulness. Pray always for a call far from the feedlots. And finally, the threat of being cut off from the Lord God himself. Sort of scary, isn't it? Well, if any of you want to return your call documents from last week, I'm sure we could ask Dr. Grimm to arrange a special service of deplacement and take care of that. Or perhaps you could hang around the seminary for another few years so that you could become perfectly dung-proofed for the Missouri Synod parishes. Fortunately, though, for you and for the people who you will serve, and for the people of Judah, God promises his faithfulness even in the midst of lack of faithfulness. For you are not only heir to the wicked priests of Judah, but you are also heir to Levi. Levi, the one who shows forth Christ. Levi, whose covenant is of life and peace. Levi, who obeys God. Levi, who stands in awe of God's name. True instruction is in his mouth, the Lord says. He preaches all of that wonderful, pure doctrine. I think he must have had an A+ in homiletics and perhaps even served on the faculty for a while. Levi walked in peace, uprightness, and turned away many from sin. He was the messenger of God himself. Now, what a nice picture of Levi. But also, what a beautiful picture of Christ, the one to whom he pointed. For Christ was the most faithful of priests. He's the one who offered the true sacrifice that a priest offers, his own body on the cross for your sins and for mine. He passed through the heavens for you and for me. He sympathizes with your weaknesses. He is without sin. He offers up prayers and supplications to God the Father for you. He is your salvation. He rises over death itself. He is the faithful one, so that you who often are faithless still have a Savior and still can speak his word. You can just think forward for a minute and think about some of the faithless things that you will say in your ministries at times. You know, the time when you're preaching and just the wrong words come out? Or the time when you're holding Aunt Matilda's hand at the bedside and just, Aunt Matilda, I understand this is terminal and fatal. How soon? You know, when things just are not said exactly right. But even in the faith of this, Christ works in and through you. He lives in you. He is in action in you. He is the faithful one, and so you are found faithful in him. Thus, don't fear having a little dung spread on your faces at times. In Jesus' name.